Let's raise your Bible up tonight and say this with me. This is my Bible. Let's try that again. This is my Bible. The Bible is God's Word. The Bible is God's Word speaking to me. Tonight I'll be taught the Word of God. My mind is alert. My body is awake. I will not fall asleep. I will not fall asleep. But I will be changed. I'll never be the same in Jesus' name. Now tap your neighbor with your Bible. Make sure they're all awake. Whew, tell you what, it's just good to be in the house of the Lord. Well, turn with me to Ephesians chapter 1. Ephesians chapter 1. And I've said this before, one of the best epistles is Ephesians, to discover who you are in Him, in Christ. Ephesians 1, verse 3 says this. When you get there, say amen. All right. Ephesians 1, 3 says this. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who hath blessed us. Everybody say blessed. Underline that. Who hath, and that's important, underscore that, hath blessed. Everybody say hath blessed. If He hath blessed you, that means it's already been done. He's already blessed you. So can you say if He's already blessed you, that means you're blessed right now. Even though you may not feel like it, maybe you may not seem like it, maybe other people don't think you are, or maybe the world doesn't look like you are, but you know what? That doesn't mean anything. The Bible says you are. You are blessed. Turn to somebody and say you're blessed. Point to your neighbor and say, you're blessed. That's what the Word of God says. He says here, who hath blessed us. And you know what that word means in the Greek? Let me tell you what it means. It means to speak well of. To speak well of. I looked up that word blessed, and it means to speak well of. Look that up. Look that up in your concordance. It means to speak well of. So in other words, He's already spoken over us. He's already called us certain things. He's already blessed us. He's already spoken well of us with all, and it goes on to say, with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ. Wow. Isn't that wonderful? Now, if you take that to the extent, you can refer to it like this. God has already called us healed according to His Word. If He's already called us healed, He's already blessed us, He's already spoken well of us, and He's already said, you're healed. Now here's the revelation of it. It's already been done. He hath blessed us. He already hath spoken well of us. He's already spoken over us and saying, by the stripes of Jesus, ye what? Were healed. Everybody say, were healed. If you were healed, then you were healed. In the eyes and the mind of God, you were healed by the stripes of Jesus upon His back. The 39 stripes upon Jesus' back representing the 39 major strands of disease that are known to man. That means everything's been taken care of by the 39 stripes upon Jesus' back. By His stripes, the Bible says, ye, which means me, which means you, were healed. So you can say it like this. If you were, then that means you are. You are. He's spoken well of you. If you are, if He's spoken over you, He says He's already prospered us. Not going to, He's already. It says He's already blessed us with all spiritual blessings. He's already spoken well of us. Already, 2,000 years ago, when Jesus rose from the dead, we're going to get into it, but when Jesus rose, you rose. If Jesus is seated, you're seated. Praise God. So you're not going to be prosperous. According to God, He's already prospered you. You're just catching up to what God hath already said. Your spirit man knows what God has said, but your soulish realm and your flesh realm has to get caught up with what God has already said about you. He's already spoken well of you. See, most of the Christian life is getting caught up with what your spirit man already knows. That's the truth about it. So it's good to be in a church where you're hearing the Word that's going to catch you up to what God has already said. He's already blessed you. He's already healed you. He's already prospered you. He's already given you all things that pertain to life and godliness. He's already caused you to rule and reign in this life. He's already made it possible for you to rule and reign in this life as kings. Praise God. Now, not only that, let me give you one more witness. God has already called us delivered. You're already delivered. Not going to be. You already have been delivered. He's already delivered you. Colossians 1, 12 and 13. I don't know if that's up on the screen, but that's the scripture. You can tag along to that, which says, He hath delivered us from the power of darkness and hath translated us into the kingdom. Everybody say kingdom. He's already delivered us into the kingdom, praise God, of His dear Son, or the Son of His love. So, He's already spoken well of us. He's already blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ. Now, get the revelation of this tonight. This is what God put an assignment on me to continue to teach the body who they are in Him. Who they are, specifically what they have and where they're seated. And the Holy Ghost continually tells me the church needs to realize who they are, what they have, and where they're seated right now. If we get the revelation of this, where we're seated right now, presently, in Christ, we'll put the devil to flight, and we'll get things wrapped up here right now. We'll have the dominion, we'll have the authority, our prayers will be effectual, and we'll run the devil out of this place, because God's waiting for the church to rise up. Amen. To use that authority and that dominion which He's given to us, but we need to be taught it in order for us to grab hold of it and walk in it, don't we? All of us need to hear it over and over again, or else the world's system gets cluttered in our thinking and cluttered in our hearts, and we got to get that out. We got to be washed. So let me read this. I wrote this down today, and I just want to read it the way I got it from the Holy Ghost, it's this. It says, the operation of God the Father, raising up Jesus Christ from the dead by the power of the Holy Spirit, in turn raised up the whole body of Christ from spiritual death and placed us in Christ, who ascended far above all principalities and is seated in victory at the supreme right hand of God. That's a mouthful, isn't it? Let me say that again. And this is important. The word operation is very important. The operation of God. See, I believe that the operation that God took when He raised up Jesus from the dead was the mightiest work, even above creation, of the world. I believe it was even far more operational and powerful, because when God raised up the body of Christ, He was raising up everyone that would put their faith in the blood of Jesus. Spiritually, they could be ruling and reigning with Christ if they would believe in Jesus, that He's risen from the dead, that His blood has purged our conscience from dead works, because Jesus is the Lamb of God, and Jesus rose from the dead, and we believe that in our heart, we confess it with our mouth, and our identification with that, our baptism with that, into Christ, in His death, burial, and resurrection, makes us in Christ. And if we're in Christ, that means we're not in our sins any longer. We're not in our sins. We're not in our past. We're not in guilt and shame and condemnation. We're in Him. We're in Christ. Hallelujah. So that operation of God the Father raising up Jesus Christ from the dead by the power of the Holy Spirit, that same Spirit that raised up Christ from the dead today dwells in us. Oh, glory to God. We get excited just talking about that, thinking about that. Regenerating Holy Spirit is in us right now. But we got to regenerate, rejuvenate. We got to speak that out, and we got to claim it, believe it, and He'll begin to activate that in our hearts. Praise God. It'll bring you out of depression. It'll bring you out of the funk that the devil may put you in. When you stir that up on the inside, that the Bible says that the same Spirit that raised up Christ from the dead dwells in us, lives in us. I can tell that your spirit man is receiving this tonight, but we got to get revelation of it and stir up the gift of God on the inside, because we've got the gift of the Holy Ghost on the inside, and He's on the inside of us to tutor us and to bring us into the knowledge of that we are sons and daughters of the living God. Hallelujah. We should have a whole house full tonight hearing this. Praise God. And they're coming in. We believe we've got 60 people, and we're believing that. I'm standing on it. Because the Bible says the same Spirit. Listen, Romans 8:11, the same spirit that raised up Christ from the dead, the same operation that God used to raise up the body of Christ from the dead, that same Holy Ghost today is living and dwelling and operating on the inside of you tonight to cause you to be overcomers, to cause you to rise up and take authority and dominion over the devil and all the principalities and cohorts of the enemy, and to rise up and to command the devil to leave and flee, command the devil to loose your hold of your life, command the devil to loose his hold off your family, condemn the devil to loose your hold, his loose off of your finances. Command the devil to loose his hold off the United States. Command the devil to loose his hold off of your loved ones and off of your churches. Command the devil to loose and let go. That's good preaching tonight. I tell you what, I sense the power of the Holy Ghost tonight. That operation of God the Father that raised up Jesus Christ from the dead. Church, we've got to identify with the death, burial, and resurrection of our Lord Jesus Christ, and we've got to get to Pentecost. We've got to not stay at the cross. We've got to go there, but don't stop at the cross. Go on to the resurrection. Go on to the ascension. Go on to the epistles. Where you're at right now, the whole body of Christ today, whether they know it, whether they feel like it, whether they say it, is still seated in Christ at the right hand of the Father. The devil doesn't want you to know it, but I'm a preacher that's going to keep on preaching it, because I know that faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. It is the most contested truth in the realms and the bowels of the Spirit of God. It's the most contested truth by the enemy, because the enemy knows that when you get a hold of this, when you get a hold of this truth, that greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world, then you can rise up in your spiritual armor, and you can rise up and you can fight the devil in the spirit with the whole armor of God, and you can use the name of Jesus and remind the devil that on that day, that fateful day, 2,000 years ago, the stone was rolled away and Jesus rose up from the grave, death, burial, and resurrection of our Lord Jesus Christ, and he's identification with you tonight. Because he was at all points tested like as we are, yet without sin. He is the Lamb of God that was slain from the foundations of the earth, and we have been predestinated to be in him, and we are in him tonight. Every single member, every man, woman, child, every young person, every adult, every grandfather, every grandmother, they're in Christ Jesus tonight. And if they will get this revelation, and if they'll begin to believe it, if they'll begin to act on it and exercise the authority that they have in the name of Jesus, they will put the devil to flight, and we'll see a lot of things happen in this world. Hallelujah. Woo, I'm preaching myself happy tonight. Praise God. These truths, let me say this, these truths must be meditated on and practiced until they become a part of our everyday lives. Our minds must be washed with this truth from God's Word on a daily basis, in order to be transformed into appreciating our present position and authority in Christ. I can't say that any better, I don't think. The Holy Ghost gave it to me this way. These truths that we stand on tonight, and they're truth. Jesus said, "You shall know the truth, and the truth shall set you free." That alcoholic, that drug addicted person, that person on meth right now at the bottom of the Tampa Bay Bridge tonight that's living on rats and living on cucumbers, they're as much delivered tonight as you and I are here tonight speaking the Word of God. Jesus has already paid the price. They just don't know it yet. But if they get the knowledge of it, if they believe it, they become the righteousness of God in Christ. It makes no difference. Jesus died for the world. And there is no other Savior. There is no other way. There is no other door. Don't let the news fool you. Don't let people fool you when they say they know God, unless you know Jesus Christ. Jesus is the door. Jesus is the way. Jesus is the rock. Jesus is the path. Jesus is the only way that we can come to the Father, into the kingdom of God, into the blessings, into the realm of the Holy Ghost. We've got to stay with Jesus. Oh, the devil hates the resurrection. He doesn't want us to preach resurrection. He doesn't want us to preach the resurrection, because that's the victory for the Christian. These truths must be meditated on and practiced. What do I mean by practice? Practice realizing that you're not in your sins. You are a new creature. Old things have passed away. Get out of this thinking. This is what gives us the most trouble, this cranial cavity, this gray matter up here, the soulish realm, your thoughts, your will, your emotions, they all get in there, and we become you know, bush garden Christians, like the roller coaster, up and down and up and down. And we're up when things are good and we're down when things are bad. But you know what? We can be just like flatline. We can say, no matter what I'm going through, I can stir up the gift of God on the inside. I don't care what happens. I'll tell you what, I'm speaking the truth tonight. These are truths from God's Word that once meditated on and practiced, they become a very part of our daily lives. Wow. Our minds, our thoughts, they must be renewed. Washed in this truth, the washing of the water of the Word on a daily basis. I believe it has to be on a daily basis. In order to be transformed into appreciating our present position and authority in Christ. Praise God. Now, Colossians chapter 2, starting at verse 11, says this. Colossians chapter 2, starting at verse 11, says this. In whom, in Christ, in other words, in Christ, ye are circumcised, look at that, with the circumcision made without hands, in putting off the body of the sins of the flesh by the circumcision of Christ. Well, there's a lot in there. There's a lot in there. That's a deep thing right there. That's deep. But look at verse 12. Buried with him in baptism. Now, he's not talking about physical baptism here. Okay? He's not talking about water baptism. He's talking about being baptized into Christ. Somebody said, well, yes, we believe in water baptism, and we do water baptism, but if water baptism was the sole reason why you get to heaven, then the thief on the cross would not be in paradise. But the truth is, when you are baptized into Christ, you're spiritually baptized into his death, burial, and resurrection, the earth being like water, you go all the way under and all the way out again. So water baptism is an outward display of an inward work. The doctrine of water baptism is very scriptural, and we practice that there. That's why we practice it at this church, because it is an outward display of an inward work which you have experienced in Christ Jesus. You were buried with him in baptism unto death, and you were raised with him under the operation of God through the Holy Ghost. And not only that, you came up out of the ground, as it were, out of the water, a new creature. Hallelujah. And the water represents the Word of God, the washing of the water of the Word. And you come out of the Word, a new creature, and you're wet with the Word. Praise God. The Word comes off of you, and it's the Word of God. Praise God. I've seen people come up out of the water speaking in tongues, hollering and jumping and praising God, because it's an outward show of an inward work that's on the inside. Praise God. In putting off the body of the sins of the flesh by the circumcision of Christ, look at verse 12, buried with him in baptism, wherein also ye are risen. Everybody say risen. With him. Look at that. Not alone, you were risen with him. See, we're talking about your identification here in Christ. Risen with him through the faith of the, what's the next word? Operation. Remember we said, remember that. Operation. In the Greek, the word operation means strong, efficient energy. The word operation in the Greek means strong, efficient energy. The resurrection, the power of God that raised up the body of Christ, was the operation, was a strong, efficient energy. Can I submit to you tonight that the Word of God spoken out of the mouth of the believer by faith is a powerful, strong, efficient energy. It's an energy. It's an energy that will move mountains. It's an energy that will heal your body. It's an energy that will dispel demons and demonic activity. It's an energy that will set the captives free. It's an energy that will create. It's an energy that will do things in the natural realm. It's an operation, a strong, efficient energy of God who hath raised him from the dead. And verse 13, and you, everybody say, and you, being dead in your sins and the uncircumcision of your flesh, what's this next word? Hath. In other words, has already. Hath he quickened us, or made us alive together with him, having forgiven you all trespasses. Hallelujah. The handwriting, oh, there's nothing against you right now if you're in Christ. The blood of Jesus purges your conscience from dead works. You are no longer in your sins. You are in Christ Jesus, and the blood of Jesus has made you totally free, totally clean, totally white as snow, totally, it's like you started all over again. In fact, you have, because you're a new creature. Old things have passed away. You are a brand new person, a brand new creature in Him. That's the truth of it, you see. Verse 14 says, blotting out the handwriting of ordinances, 14, that was against us, in which was contrary to us, and took it out of the way, nailing it to His cross. There's a power of the cross to those of us who believe. There's power in what Jesus did at the cross. Your sins were nailed to the cross. You're no longer in your sin any more than Jesus is still on the cross. And He's not on the cross. He was buried. He rose. He's living. He's victorious. He's seated. His power is powerful. He's seated at the right hand of the Father. And all things are in obedience and obeyance to His word and to the name of Jesus. Devils and demons shiver and tremble at the name of Jesus. Why? Because Jesus dethroned and took care of that 2,000 years ago. Every demonic oppression, every bondage, every sin, the sin question has already been taken care of 2,000 years ago. Hallelujah. And it says in verse 15, I like this, he went on to say, and having spoiled principalities and powers, look at this, he made a show of them, not in secret, openly. Can you see it tonight? He made a parade of it. He made a show of it so that the whole world could see. He made a parade of it. That's why we say, oh, let's raise the banner, heirs of promise. Why do we say that? Because the banner has been raised, the enemy's been defeated, his head's been cut off, and we parade through the streets with a banner, and Jesus is on our banner. Hallelujah! Our King, our Victor, Jehovah Jireh, Jehovah Nissi, Jehovah Sitkanu, He's our Jehovah banner. He's our banner that we carry with us on our back, in our front, on our feet, with our mouth, with our eyes, all around us, burning up the loins of our mind with the Word of God. Jesus is alive, and He's already defeated the devil on the devil's territory, and we triumphed over it because Jesus triumphed over it. We are in Christ Jesus right now, church. The church of the Lord Jesus Christ. If we could get this in our spirit, be transformed by the renewing of our mind with God's Word on a daily basis, confess these truths, meditate on them, and act like they were true, because they are. You'll find great results in your life, and you will find that you are walking into your territory that God has for you. We've got to get these truths into our heart. Ephesians chapter 1. Go with me to Ephesians chapter 1. Paul prayed this prayer so powerful. If it can get any more powerful, Paul prayed this prayer to the church at Ephesus in Ephesians chapter 1. And starting at verse 16, I tell you, when you get this truth in your heart, it'll put the devil to flight. It'll put the devil to flee every time when you realize who you are, what you have, and where you're seated in Christ right now. The devil won't mess with you. He won't mess with you because he knows that if he messes with you, he knows that you're going to turn on him using the name of Jesus, and that same operation of God that rose up Jesus from the dead dwells in you. Romans 8:11 says that same spirit that rose up Christ from the dead. Oh, he doesn't want to mess with that. We know that. We know who we are in Christ. We're heirs of promise. Paul said this. He prayed this prayer. He said, I cease not to give thanks for you, making mention of you in my prayers. He's praying for the church now. Making mention of you in my prayers. Why? Verse 17. That the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give unto you the spirit of wisdom. And look at this next word. What? Revelation. In the knowledge of Him, in the knowledge of what I'm preaching to you tonight. Confess that the spirit of wisdom and revelation dwells in you. When you get up in the morning, when you're working, when you're going to work in the morning, while you're driving to work and you're going there, just begin out loud with your mouth. Say, thank you, Lord, for giving me the spirit of wisdom and revelation and the knowledge of you. And make that a practice of your daily life. Make that a practice in your daily life, just like washing your teeth, brushing your teeth, combing your hair. Let that be a daily habit in your life, and you will find great results in your spiritual life, and you'll find great results in your walk with the Lord and finding out His perfect will for your life. Somebody in here tonight needs to find out God's perfect will for your life. I sense the Holy Ghost is saying unto you tonight, you need to get into the Word and begin to confess that you have the spirit of wisdom and revelation, and you'll find great results in that and great inroads in walking out the perfect will of God. So confess that you have the wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of Him. Look at verse 18. Very important. He said, Paul said, the eyes of your, what? Understanding. So we need to understand that we have eyes of understanding that must be what? Enlightened. And how are they enlightened? With the light of the Word of God. The Holy Ghost will take this Word that I'm preaching to you tonight and He will shine on your heart, and your heart has eyes, and you will see the revelation of what the Spirit of God is saying, and the Spirit of God will carry this Word to your heart, and it will bring light and understanding and revelation, and you'll go from glory to glory, and you'll realize where you're seated, and you'll realize that thing has to go, and you got to kick that thing because it's under your feet. We got to realize, church, that the devil's been defeated. And Jesus has given you authority, complete authority over the works of darkness. The authority that is at the throne of God, at the right hand of the Father, right now, all heaven backs the name of Jesus when you speak the name of Jesus. It's just as if Jesus is saying it. When you say in the name of Jesus, spirit of infirmity, go! It leaves. It's got to go. The eyes of your understanding being enlightened, that ye may, what? Ye may know. Another thing we need to change in our speaking is stop saying, I don't know. Stop saying, I can't. Stop saying, I'm not able. Stop saying, I can't afford it. Stop saying, I'll never. Stop saying, I can't. Stop saying, I won't. Stop saying those things, because what you say is sharing your life. It's putting a barrier, a boundary on what God can do in your life. Begin to say, I can do all things through Christ. I have the spirit of wisdom and revelation. I will obey the perfect will of God. I am in the perfect will of God. I have the spirit of wisdom and revelation. I am the healed of the Lord. I am the delivered of the Lord. I am prosperous. I am healed. I am delivered. I am prosperous. All my needs are met. All my bills are paid. Praise God. I have more than enough because God's Word hath already blessed me. He's already spoken over me. The eyes of understanding being enlightened, that ye may know what is the hope of His calling and what the riches of the glory of His, what? Inheritance in the saints. And what is the exceeding greatness of His power to usward who believe, according to the working or operation of His mighty power, which He wrought or which He formed in Christ when He raised Him. I want you to understand again, it's already been done. When He raised Him from the dead and set Him, look at that, set Him at His own right hand in where? Heavenly places. Verse 21, far above. Everybody say far above. Far above. Say that again, far above. Far above all principality and power and might and dominion and every creepy thing and every name that is named, every name, every cancer, every colitis, every name that's mentioned. Sickness, disease, every name that man has given to things, it has to be bowing its knee to the name of Jesus. It has no power greater than the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. Not only in this world, but also in that which is to come. And verse 22 says, and hath put all things under, what? His feet. Now He's put it under His feet, and you're the body, He's under your feet. Can you see that? If He's put everything under His feet, and the body of Christ is His head, including His body, and we just got through it exhorting you that you're the body, then so then He's under your feet. See, that's why we can say that. We're not saying according to our works. It's because we are the body of Christ, and if it's under Jesus' feet, it's under your feet. The devil's under your feet right now. Which is His body, the church. Let's go back to verse 22. And hath put all things under His feet, hath put all things under His feet, and gave Him to be the head over all things to the church, which is His body, the fullness of Him that dwelleth all in all. Now, when you talk about the head and the body, if I ask somebody tonight, if I ask Ty right now to pick up a piece of paper in front of him in the chair sleeve, if he went ahead and did that right now, go ahead and do that. Now, in order for that operation to take place, first Ty had to hear me say what I said to him, and then he had to get it translated from his head. He had to hear it. His ears were in his head, right? But that's not all. If he just thought about it, he never would have picked that up. But no, his body had to get involved. His mind, what was in his head, had to be connected to his arm, and with a millisecond, so quick, it went like from my word to his head, to his arm, and the operation worked. Praise God. Can you get that? Can you get that little simple illustration? The head, apart from the body, cannot do the operation that God wants to do on the earth today. We've got to get instruction from the head. And once we get instruction from the head, just do what the Word says. Amen. We can lay hands on the sick. Oh, yeah, we can lay hands on the sick. We can use the name of Jesus. We should be seeing those miracles. We should. Why don't we? Well, I believe we just need to keep doing it. We need to keep preaching it. We need to keep on building the same stuff about it, and we need to do it and practice it. I believe it'll work. I believe the Word works. We need to know that the Word works when we work the Word. Now, over in Ephesians chapter 2, verse 4, it says this, just tagging on to this, the last scripture is so powerful. This truth right here will set your feet a-dancing and your heart jumping and full of joy. When you get this truth into your heart and becomes a revelation in your life. Ephesians chapter 2, starting at verse 4, it says this, "But God, who is rich in mercy, for His great love wherewith He loved us, even when we were dead in sins," what's this next word? "Hath quickened us, what's this next word? Everybody say together. See, we're not apart from Christ. We're not apart. We're the body. He's the head. You can't separate the body from the head. Amen? The body and the head are one. Praise God. "And hath quickened us together with Christ, by grace ye," what? Are saved. See, that man addicted on meth right now under the bridge, according to God, according to what Jesus has already done, it's already been taken care of. It's already done. All that man has to do is believe it. Repent and trust Jesus, and the rejuvenation, the power of God comes into his life, and he becomes a new creature. Praise God. And he grows up spiritually like you've done. You're going into a church and you hear the Word of God. You're exercising the Word of God. You're growing in the truth of God's Word from glory to glory, and you're gaining ground and walking into your promised land and bringing back the fruit unto God. That's what it's all about. But that man down the street, he's no less a child of God than you are if he receives what's already been done. We've got to believe it and receive it and then act like it's true and grow in these truths that are before us tonight, these great truths that are before us tonight. In verse 6 it says, "And hath raised us up together," look at this, "and made us," what? Sit. Everybody say sit. Now tonight, you're sitting. You're in a position of sitting, which means you are relaxed. You're not walking. You're done with your day. You're not working right now. That what you did today is finished, most of you, and you've come in here and you're sitting, which makes it an act of resting. You get that? Too many Christians feel like they've got to work things up and whip things up and everything, but the truth is that you are already seated in Christ. You're already seated. The work is getting to that place where you're seated. That's the work. It's not works of righteousness which we do that try to get brownie points with God. That's work. That's religion. The work that we do is what we're doing tonight, getting the revelation, the spirit of wisdom and revelation, the knowledge of what you already have, and resting in that, and walking like that, and talking like that, and praying like that, and speaking like that, and commanding like that, and using the authority and dominion that's been given to you. Every member of the body of Christ is already right now seated in Him. Hallelujah! Oh, the body of Christ needs to hear this. They need to hear this over the internet, over the airways, over the get away from all this politics and denominationalism and all this frill and fluff. We need to get back to what the Word says. So the body of Christ begins to sit and be who we're supposed to be and begin to just say in the name of Jesus, devil, leave. Command the devil to go. And we would see great results. Praise God. And hath, I love this, verse 6, and hath raised us up together. Praise God. And made us sit together in heavenly places in, here we go, in Christ Jesus. Now, go to a couple chapters after this, to Ephesians chapter 4. And you're sitting here, you're going to heirs of promise, and you're hearing these truths that are set before you on a weekly basis, a yearly basis, and you're hearing this word, praise God, and it's coming in your heart, and the faith is rising because faith comes by hearing and hearing by the Word of God. And don't feel like nothing's happening because it is happening. You may not feel like changes are taking place, but they are. Just by sitting under the Word, changes are taking place, and you are rising up to the level of the Word that you hear, whether you feel like it right now or not. You're getting deposits right now in the Spirit, whether you sense it or not. There are things that are happening in the Spirit to your spiritual life right now. You'll walk out of here from glory to glory. From glory to glory. The Word will not return void, but it prospers where it's sent, and it accomplishes where God intended it to go. And so you're hearing the Word of God tonight, and the Word is rising up on the inside of you, for the Word of God is quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword. It pierces even to the dividing asunder of soul and spirit. It's cutting through all the darkness and all the soulless things, and it's cutting right to the heart of man, and you're rising up to the level of the Word that you're hearing. Praise God. As long as there's breath in me, I'm going to preach and be a proclaimer of this good news because I know this is the truth and the truth will set men free. This is the truth that will set men free, knowing what's already been accomplished for you 2,000 years ago. It's not trying to be good. It's realizing that Jesus is good, realizing what He did 2,000 years ago, and rest in that truth and stand before these glorious truths and get them in our heart and confess them out of our mouth and grow in the knowledge of God and begin to bear fruit. So that we can become teachers of men. Begin to teach others these wonderful truths that you're hearing. Go from babyhood to childhood. Go from childhood to adolescence. Go from adolescence and finally to grown up. Be a mature Christian and teach these wonderful truths to others. That's what my goal is, to duplicate. Amen. Teach others that we're not to pray these little silly prayers. Nay, and now we lay me down to sleep. I pray the Lord my soul to keep. Begin to pray anointed, mature prayers that Paul taught the church at Ephesus so that the church of the Lord Jesus Christ rises up to the level of the Word of God that they hear. Praise God. And we need more men and women that have backbone, that stand up before the people in the pulpit and say, thus saith the Lord. The truth is many of the men and women behind the pulpit are in sin. Themselves, they're in sin. They're not walking right with the Lord. So how can there be power in the church if the leadership is in sin? If they're laying their head on Delilah's lap, how can the church have power? But the power is coming back to the church. I'm telling you what, I believe He's raising up preachers and teachers of the Word of God that are not ashamed to preach the uncompromising Word of God with truth. Hallelujah! That are not ashamed to preach to 20, 30 people where all of these mega churches that are preaching fluff and stuff and psychology and getting great modes of people and they're going straight to hell because they're not preaching that Jesus saved. Whew, I don't know what's getting over me, praise God. But this is good preaching now. I don't want watered down gospel. I don't want greasy grace. I want the Word of God, the living truth. I want things that are going to set us free. And it's the Word of God that will set us free. It's the truth. The truth will set us free. As we sit before these great truths and we let them resonate in our hearts and let them rise up in our spirit, man, we will walk differently and we'll see ourselves differently. We'll see ourselves not all tarnished with sin and all of the rags of unrighteousness, but we'll walk out of churches knowing who we are in Christ and ready to put the devil to flight. Go to your homes, and when you're having marital problems, don't fight in the flesh, but fight in the spirit and take authority over the devil and tell the devil to leave. We need to get out of this psychological stuff and into the Word of God and the power of the Holy Ghost. Praise God. I just came through a great trial, a great test, and somebody said aptly that what you preach, you'll be tested on. It's true. I think Keith said that. And I came through this last week, a persecution. Somebody outright just came against me. I mean, just outright came against me. And I just wanted to tear into him. I wanted to get in the flesh. And the Holy Ghost said, you need to stay in the Spirit. Because once you start telling these truths, man, the devil will unleash all hellish nymphs and principalities to try to get you to stop. But I'm staying in the Spirit where my victory is. I'm boxing in the spiritual ring. I realize what's going on. I know my calling. I know my assignment. And I'm looking down on that thing, and I'm commanding it to go in the name of Jesus. Because I'm in the perfect will of God. Because I know that the saints are getting this, and they're rising up, and they're hearing what the Spirit of God is saying. Hallelujah. We're not fighting against flesh and blood, beloved. We're fighting against principalities and powers of the air, rulers of the darkness in high places that try to exalt themselves against the knowledge of God's Word. But I've got good news for you. The name of Jesus puts them to flight every time, and you speak the name of Jesus, and they flee from you as in terror, because you are in Christ, and we're the body of Christ. And when you speak the name of Jesus, the operation of God that raised Him from the dead is in you, and you speak the name of Jesus, and all heaven is behind that name. And you speak the name, and all heaven backs up that name, and demons flee. We've got to begin to pray for our country. We need to bind the devilish demons right now that are trying to control our government and trying to lull us into this all this gooey stuff. I'm not one that's going to drink the Kool-Aid. I'm going to stand up and preach the uncompromising Word of God. Praise God. Ephesians chapter 4. Starting at verse 11, it says, and He gave some, Ephesians chapter 4, verse 11 says, and He gave some apostles and some prophets and some evangelists and some pastors and teachers. We call this the fivefold ministry gifts. Why did He give? When he ascended, He gave these gifts unto men. Why did He give these gifts unto men? Verse 12, He explains it. Verse 12, for the what? The word perfecting, very good. The word perfecting here means to be completely furnished or mature. The word perfecting, don't let that throw you. It doesn't mean to be perfect, never doing anything wrong. It means to be completely furnished or mature. Complete in Him, okay? So don't let that word, that English word we sometimes let that throw us, perfect doesn't mean you never make any mistakes. Man, if that was true, then none of us would be in this. Because we all make mistakes. We all mess up occasionally. But thank God for the blood of Jesus, and thank God that we can come to Him and confess our sin, and He's faithful and just to forgive us of our sin and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness and get back up on the horse. Praise God. But we're called for the perfecting or the maturing of the saints. And then it says this, for the work of the ministry, but this has been mistranslated as well. What it really should say is, for the maturing of the saints so that they can do the work of the ministry. The reason, that's what it means. If we put all the pressure on the pastor and the pastor's wife to do it all, guess what? You'll never get anything done. But our responsibility is, as shepherds, as the adults, is to train you up as children to get up and to be mature so that you can teach others. So that you can do the work of the ministry. My goal is to duplicate everybody in here, duplicate you. Just to do everything that's in me, I want to be in you. I want it to be in you. Because I know I can just affect so many people, but you can affect so many people. And you take this and you go and you, somebody that needs to hear it, begin to explain it to them. Take them under your wing and teach them some of these truths. You say, well, I've never been to Bible school. That's okay. You don't need to go to Bible school. A lot of people have been going to Bible school, and they come out just as ignorant as they did when they went in. The key is take what you know and use it. Just take what you know. If it's one thing that you know, then use that and teach that to somebody. And you'll be given more. Praise God. So we say this so they can do the work of the ministry for the... What's this next word? Edifying. Everybody say edifying. The word edifying is, in the Greek, it means architecture. In other words, to build a concrete structure. That's what it means. Edifying. architecture, to build up, to build a concrete structure of the body of Christ. Verse 13, till we all come in the unity of the faith. Let me tell you something. Today, there's a great, and I've said this before, but I'm saying it by the Spirit of God, there's a great deception and delusion that's coming across the world right now. There's a great one world thought that's being perpetrated by religious leaders. And you'll see it more and more, I prophesy in these coming days, that leaders of great denominations, and I'm not going to say who, but I believe who, they're going to begin to propagate this one world faith and this one world system and one world unity. We all need to get along. But they won't talk about Jesus Christ. If you talk about Jesus Christ, then you're not politically correct and you're a radical. And you must be put aside. You must be put away because you're not into unity. Let me tell you what. This will cut. The Word of God will cut through the darkness. It'll cut through demonic activity. And that's why the devil hates it so much. He hates this church. But we're still here. Hallelujah. I sense the anointing of the Holy Ghost. Hallelujah. Woo! Because it's the anointing that destroys every yoke. It's the anointing. Why was this country so great back in the early days? Ford, Edison, we had all these inventors and this country became so prosperous and so great. Because we were basing all of what we did on the Judeo-Christian type of belief. And we believed in God, we trust, and we put it on our money system. We spoke it in our schools. And every child pledged allegiance to the flag. And it said, one nation under God. And today, you can't find that in our schools. Back in the 60s, they took that out of schools. And the graph shows from the 60s up until now, skyrocketing teen pregnancy, skyrocketing killings and murder in schools, skyrocketing sexual promiscuity, skyrocketing abortions, skyrocketing all kinds of sexual perversion. You could all take it right back to when prayer was taken out of schools. One person made a loud enough squeak for the kingdom of... One person made a loud enough noise and a squeak that a whole law was changed. They took prayer out of school. Took God out of public schools, I'm telling you. Took out public prayer. I believe Carmen the singer, he took a statistic and he brought it right back to the day that that prayer was taken out of schools, and they showed the graph how every violent crime went up. And now it's not just kissing the back seat of a Chevy truck, it's murder in schools. It's 10, 9, 8, 9, 10, 11-year-olds bringing shotguns and AK-40s in schools. And you've all seen it. What am I saying? That hope is all not lost. We need to get back to preaching the Word of God. I believe one day if the Lord tarries, we'll have a Christian school. I want us to have a Christian school. I want us to teach reading, writing, arithmetic, and the Word of God. I want us to bring out kids that are doctors and lawyers filled with the Holy Ghost, surgeons and great men and women thinkers that are basing their faith on the Word of God. I believe it can happen. I want to have Heirs of Promise Academy. And that's part in my heart. And you say, oh, how can you believe that? I believe it. It's in my heart. We're going to have that someday. We're going to have anointed schools and anointed, it's going to be anointed, I'm telling you. So the perfecting of the saints. Now it says verse 14, can I go a little bit farther, longer? Verse 14, that we henceforth be no more, say no more, children. Say it again, no more, children. The word children, get this tonight, the word children in the Greek means infant, not yet able to speak. Doesn't that resonate something with you? Not yet able to speak or not knowing how to articulate words. Puts a whole new light on the power of the Word of God in our hearts and in our mouths. See, this is all the church is. The church is not a social club. It's not a Holiday Inn. It's a training ground. And people are getting mad at me right and left now because I'm getting a little bit bolder. I'm getting a little bit stronger. I'm getting a little bit more backbone because I've seen that playtime doesn't cut it. They don't come when you play time, so you might as well just tell the truth in love. That's what's going to cause people to grow up. They're going to grow up and say, you know what? It's time. It's time for me to stop that pettiness that I've been doing, those petty offenses and those petty stuff that's keeping me from the things of God, and I'm going to get right with God, and I'm going to be a man or a woman in my faith. And I'm going to be mature to grow up. Praise God. Now it says that we henceforth be no more children, an infant, not yet able to speak, tossed, look at this, to and fro, and carried about with every wind, look at this, of what? Doctrine by the what? Sleight of hand. You know what sleight of hand is? You ever seen these guys in the street where they take a quarter and they go like this? You know? It's all sleight of hand. It's all deception. It's deception. It's really there. It's just a trick. The enemy is a trickster. All he has is wiles and tricks. He's trying to trick the body of Christ. But praise God, we're not ignorant of his devices. We're staying in the Spirit. I love and keep majors on the kingdom of God. We're in the kingdom, and this church talks about the kingdom of God. We need to talk about the kingdom of God. Our thoughts need to be on the kingdom of God. Praise God. We have been translated into the kingdom. Praise God. You are kings and priests, and we ought to act like that and walk like that and begin to take dominion and authority in our realm in which we live and stop letting the devil run everything and begin to put into flight. Amen? Begin to speak the name of Jesus. Now it says this, not yet able to speak, the infant, tossed to and fro and carried about with every wind of doctrine by the sleight of men and cunning craftiness, whereby they lie in wait to deceive, but verse 15, but speaking the truth, here it is, in love. Speak the truth, but speak the truth in love. That we may what? Grow up. Grow up. Everybody say grow up. We grow up spiritually by exercising what we know and what we learn from those who are more mature. Let me say that again. We grow up spiritually by exercising what we know and what we learn from those who are more mature. We need to just take what others have done and say, okay, I need to apply that to my life. I need to do that. I need to exercise that. I need to, you know, the pastor says, go, you know, when you're going to work, speak the word out loud and build yourself up in your most holy faith, you know, and speak in the word. Well, do that. It'll be great benefit spiritually to your life to speak the word out loud. Be transformed by the renewing of your mind with the word of God. Speaking the word of God and saying, I'm healed. Thank God. I'm healed. Hallelujah. Just saying that. I'm healed. I'm delivered. I'm set free. The wealth of the wicked is laid up for us. The wealth of the wicked is coming unto me. Praise God. It's being loosed right now. The devil can't keep it from me because it's coming to me right now. Money cometh to me in the body of Christ. All that I need is coming to me in the name of Jesus. When I call it forth, I call those things to be not as though they were. I will not buy into this economy. I will live according to God's economy. And I say that I have more than enough. And I will prosper. And I will succeed. And I will have more than enough. And I don't care what the economy is saying. I'm living according to God's economy. And God's word says that he has made us prosperous. Beloved, I wish above all things that thou mayest prosper and be in health, even as thy soul prospers. Praise God. Now I want to close with this verse in Galatians 5:13. All this liberty, everything that we've sat before in these great truths, and we have the authority. But why do we have that authority and that power? It's to exercise this one thing. Galatians 5:13. And when you get there, say amen. Galatians 5:13, Paul talked to the church of Galatia, and he said this through all these great truths. He said, for brethren, you have been called unto liberty. Only use not liberty for an occasion to the flesh, but by love, here it is, serve one another. See, it all ties together. to serve one another, to take somebody that's weaker in their faith and to start teaching them some of these truths. Take somebody that's opposing themselves. The Bible says many Christians oppose themselves because they're doing things that are harmful spiritually to themselves. They're doing something that's keeping doors open in their lives, and the devil's coming in and stealing and killing, destroying. And take them aside and say, look, brother, sister, begin to do this. This will help you. This is what I did. Begin to do this. And we'll be able to bridge the gap. We'll be able to shear that thing up in that hedge. We'll begin to lock that door in your life, because the devil can't come through any door that's locked. We need to lock some doors. We need to have the keys of the kingdom so that we lock some of those doors that the enemy's getting in. Lock some of those doors. And so it's for one sole purpose, so that we would serve one another. Praise God. And finally, the five B's, and I'm going to close with this. Is that my second horn, like a train? Five B's, if you can remember this, the five B's. Number one, be faithful to come to church. If we can get this down, just be faithful to come to church. It's hard sometimes. I know it, brethren. Sistren. Sometimes your body just doesn't want to come, but make it a habit. Like brushing your teeth. Just say, I'm going to come. I'm going to sit myself down. Number two, be a faithful tither. Be a faithful tither. Praise God. Number three, bring others to church. Just bring somebody else. That's how a church grows. Personal invitation. Just bring somebody. Tell somebody, bring somebody. We were at a restaurant. Well, actually, we were at Perkins, and the waitress just knows us and asked about the church. So we just, we didn't put our arm around her head and drag her, but we just, gave her a card, gave her one of our business cards, and she's talking about coming and she wants to come. So it's just personal contact. They'll come. Just keep planting those seeds. They'll come. Just keep loving them. They'll come. They'll come. Number four, be a worshiper. Be a worshiper. That means when you worship and praise, be centered on Jesus and just be a worshiper. And do everything at your disposal to worship Him. Raise your hands and clap your hands, oh you people. Get excited. It will cause others to get excited. It only takes a spark, and it'll build. I'm telling you, it'll grow. Others will be sparked to worship as well. Number five, be an encourager. Be an encourager. Be an encourager. Encourage somebody. There's enough discouragement in the world. Listen, there's enough bad stuff in the paper, in the world, in the news. Have you ever noticed? There's never any good thing on the news. They don't show any good things because that's not what gets the headlines. But we need to encourage one another. All of us are growing. Don't be critical. All of us are growing. Don't be critical of somebody that's not where you're at. Just love them. Encourage them. Say, you're going to make it. I'm for you. I'm with you. What can I pray with you about? Be an encourager. Amen. Because we're all one. We're all part of the same body. Praise God. We're all the same, the body of Christ, and members in particular. Hallelujah. Praise God forever. Hallelujah. Thank God for the Holy Ghost. Let's just lift our hands and let's stand up tonight and let's just worship Him right now.